Welcome to an episode of the Programmatic Digest podcast. I am your host, Ellen Parker, and I'm here in the beautiful company of Sergey from EPOM. How are you doing, Sergey?
Doing good. Thank you for having me, Ellen.
Okay, so did I pronounce your name correctly, Sergey?
You did. Yeah, that is
Okay.
correct.
All right, I gotta make sure. I gotta make sure to represent and honor you starting by your name. And so today it's going to be a pretty cool conversation because we're going to talk about the agency do's and don'ts. We work here at Inland Parker Consulting. We work a lot with the agency world, and so I'm really looking forward to some of those discussion points. But before we get into today's conversation, I want to give a big shout out to our sponsor, Jobs in AdTech. If you have not yet joined Jobs in AdTech.com, make sure you check it out. And if you're an employer, you don't want to miss an opportunity to place or to at least hire from Jobs in AdTech. So jobsinadtech.com, shout out to you for sponsoring this episode. Now back to Sergey. So before you tell us all the do everything we need to know about the agency world, at least do's and don'ts right now in 2024, how about you tell us who you are, what you do, how did you land it in this position? First of all, did you wake up when you were 7 year old and told your parents, you know what, I'm a working programmatic?
Kinda, yeah. That's pretty much what
Okay.
happened. Of course, I mean, that's what happens with everybody, right? Right?
Yeah, no. So tell us.
No, I switched a lot of jobs before I landed here. But I'm with the company for I think 12 years now, so it's been an eternity ever since, pretty much from the
12 years.
yeah, give or take. Yeah,
That's a long time. That's a long time.
it is. Yeah, and I'm super happy to be here. And I'm the sales executive at EPAM. I oversee all the platform sales.
Okay.
So we are a technology company. We have several products. We have a white label DSP, and we have an ad server slash SSP solution that could be white labeled. And I'm overseeing the ad server and SSP sales. And in EPAM, that's essentially what I do.
Got it. Okay. And so you already oversee sales, you said ad tech, SSPs and DSPs?
Well, the platform that we offer is essentially a tool to manage everything, right? So we don't provide neither demand nor supply, but we do give you a platform where you can manage everything. So we have a lot of ad networks and ad agencies come to us when they're looking for a tool to manage their media buying.
Got it. So do you work primarily with publishers?
Actually, we work with anybody that needs platform. I would say the majority of our customers are ad networks and ad agencies that do media buy, and they just need a platform to manage the creatives that they have on the
Got it.
traffic that they're buying,
Oh.
essentially.
Oh, okay. Well, that's really cool. So if we had to place y'all in the Lumascape, have you heard of the Lumascape?
I think
Where
so,
would you
yeah.
be?
Somewhere in the attic, I believe, right?
As a tech, okay. So like a SaaS company, a tech. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
I think it's important to differentiate because part of our listeners are, seniors, execs, for both buy side and sell side, but predominantly we're on the buy side here. And so I like to always ask the Lumascape question just in case I am unclear, like, wait, how can we? Okay, we're this way. But ultimately, it's like, you work a lot with agencies, and so it seems.
We do.
And so part of the conversation today is what should an agency do? What should they don't do? What should they pay attention to in 2024? We've been talking a lot about the cookie-less world. We've been talking a lot about CTV, excuse me, my phone. We've been talking a lot about all the things, right? And so what are some of the do's and don'ts that you wanted to maybe tell us about? Like, because I've worked a lot for agencies in my previous lifetime, and that's who I'm servicing today. So we service both agencies and agency trading desk and programmatic in-house. And if I had to give you a recap everything into one, two sentence, is that those agencies come to me because they have traders that need to level up, become more efficient, become more productive, so that the at the end of the day, or if you look at your bottom line, the team are all generating some level of revenue as a whole. And so from a trader perspective, we don't go out selling, right? But we manage those dollars. And if we manage it efficiently, then overall, we'll get back into being generate that revenue, if it makes sense, right? And it can look, and if you're listening and you're like, how can I do that as a trader? It's almost like coming down to, I'm optimizing my campaign. I'm able to increase my ROAS from X. I'm able to increase pacing, impression or whatever your goal is by X amount or by this percentage. And because of that, I recommended increasing the budget here. That's how we help generate revenue as traders, okay? So like by upselling, by recommending a new strategy, a new tactic, by even serving as like an advisor to other team, like the client service, creative, you know, things like that. So there's a lot of ways for us as trader to do. So that's what I do. I know I said in two sentences, but I gave you give you 2 minutes.
It's okay. It's good. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the type of agency. What are some of like, let's start with the challenges. What are some of the challenges in the last year that you were like, maybe they should not do that?
The challenges are, well, they're, I'm not going to say they're pretty common, but no, you see a lot of repeating patterns across the board, right?
Okay.
And again, we work with a lot of agencies. We work with a lot of ad networks that come to us to, you know, to get a tool to manage stuff, right? So that's what they do. And we're trying to help them since we are a platform, like we're very tech focused, but still we're used to solving business issues and business answering business questions that arise as well. So I would say what you should do as an agency and as an ad network going into 2024 is you should definitely, well, all agencies and networks think about scaling, right? Nobody wants to be stuck at the same place that they are. So they're thinking, okay, what should we do? And you cannot scale automatically. You cannot just, you know, pump just more money into your media buying and expect the result to turn out the same way, to increase the same way proportionally to the amount of money that you pump in. So you have to be smart about it. And obviously everybody is thinking about, you know, how can it scale? So if you are an ad agency that's not that's not employing any technological solution, you definitely should. I know ad agencies that came to us that had an Excel file, which was their only source of understanding what they're doing, right? So they're doing media buys, but they're keeping just a spreadsheet. And it blows your mind because, and they have a pretty successful business, but how can you do that? You cannot scale using an Excel file, right? The spreadsheet only goes so
you
far.
You can't?
So,
what?
That was a wild guess on my side. But you really have to look out for the right technology for you, right? So you can definitely start with, if you're starting, or if you're, you know, just starting up or building it from the ground up, you can definitely start using self-serve accounts with the DSP.
Self-serve,
right?
Accounts?
Programmatic.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like when you log in, you know, you deposit a certain amount of money, you create your campaigns, and then you run on the inventory that's available to you by that platform. So it's like super straightforward. Pretty much anybody can do it. It's like, you know, a couple of buttons. It's not hard to do. But it comes to downsides, right? And after a certain while, so, you know, you're buying media, you're looking at it, you're bringing revenue to your customer, to your brand, and everybody's happy. But, you know, then it's like you spend $100, $1,000, $5,000. But then you're stuck. You cannot, like, scale limitlessly using that approach. You start going on to a different self-serve account, then to a third one, fourth one. But then it is becoming hard to manage all that, right? So, and you have to think about like how you would scale, like not in a week or in a month, like in a year, where will you be? You need some solution to help you do that. And that of course comes to, you know, your own platform, a platform that will be great for you, that has all the necessary capabilities that you need in order to manage everything. But it does come with a price. Like if you want to build something proprietary, we're talking about crazy, crazy amounts of money.
Okay.
So Yeah, like what should you do? You definitely don't, you know, since we're talking about do's and don'ts, don't build your own software if you are not, you know, an Amazon type company and not a Google type company.
So you're recommending for agencies that have several platforms. So when I hear platform, I think DSPs, but sometimes some agency buy directly via an SSPs, right? They'll have like a direct person. Mm-hmm. So what you recommend is pretty much almost like making it efficient in a way that you can combine all of this under one, but you don't have to create that tool. It already exists.
Exactly. Yeah. So I would definitely recommend first spreading out a bit. Like if you're beginning or if you're used to something, you know, spread out a bit. Try something new. I'm going to get to that in a sec. But as for the technology stack, start testing out different platforms. But mm-hmm. then your final goal should be just having one single platform that allows you to keep track of everything. Because mm-hmm. it's inefficient if you're using five different platforms. They don't give you the same analytics. Like the metrics are different everywhere, so you kind of have to like combine them
it's
in a certain way.
Yeah, it's not one language, that's for sure.
Absolutely. The platform is not yours, you know, like some changes could be made to any of those platforms that screw up your media buying mm-hmm. strategies and you know, your setup. The traffic is limited because you're only, you know, you have to use this platform to get this traffic and mm-hmm. you're stuck with them. And the data is not yours. You have no access to the data that is vital to you in order to optimize your media buying.
But you're not referring to like a reporting tool, right? Because
I'm not, no.
Because a lot of agencies are putting a lot of their combining all their eggs into the reporting tool. Like, how am I performing? But what you're saying is that you can do performance and like maybe a pre-launch or anything more admin to do it. Is that what EPOM does?
Yeah, that's what we and other players on the market
do. So you're not, sorry to cut you off. So you're not a reporting tool, but you can provide that because that's important.
Yeah, we're not just a reporting tool. Yeah.
Okay, got it. Okay. Is there a way to, okay, because like now I'm super intrigued and I think that's a tool that's important because when I hear traders do day to day, there is a lot of logging in. There is a lot of Excel. Excel is bail. I always joke here in the community that Excel is bail. And matter of fact, Adam Heimlich from Chalice was like, oh no, you should not say that. That's not, he called me out on LinkedIn, but I love them. I love Chalice algorithm. But to get back into the topic here is that when I hear a trader's day-to-day, it's overwhelming, it's complex, it's like being pulled in multiple direction at once, being asked things that maybe are outside of their job or responsibility. But because they're the one who use the technology, there's a lot more expected out of them. And so you're saying we got to be able to help these traders become much more efficient at what they do by eliminating the time spent on manual tasks, like, you know.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, okay. You don't need to spend a lot of time doing menial tasks. Yeah. Like optimize.
Yeah.
Optimize, right? Automate.
Yeah. Love optimizing. That was my favorite thing as a trader. I love optimizing. I love writing insight or coming up or like pulling data audience, you know, insights in general, like, oh, this audience performing pretty well. I had no idea, you know, that they would like
call
me as a brand.
And but you know, if we're talking about just automating the reporting, then mm-hmm. it comes, you know, again, it's not scalable to infinity, right? Because you have to act on the insights that you gain from the analytics, and that's mm-hmm. like that could also be a hard stop if you're employing like 5 or 10 different accounts, mm-hmm. and you know, but you automate everything very nicely in your favorite Excel spreadsheet. But then, you know, you have to do something with those results, right? You have to log into every single one of those platforms and make adjustments.
Yeah.
And some have, you know, they have different logins, they have different UIs, they have different amounts of button to press. And now you're stuck with spending hours upon hours, you know, doing something that could and should be automated, right? Mm-hmm. It's lagging. It's making you lag behind. And this works for all the buyers. This works for all the
and a lot of the clients I work with, you know, they're traders, they're buyers, they're AMs, they're account management, just working closely with a trader. And they all say like it takes a long time to optimize because you have to go back and make the changes. Optimizing is just not pulling the report and then just looking at things. And no, you got to go back and, like you said, use that into a very data-driven, strategic decision, right? So I love that. So the first thing, I guess it was a don't that I'm turning into a do. So a don't build everything in-house. But rather expand into a tool, outsource certain things that you don't have to create in-house, right? They already exist.
Do build a relationship with the tech stack that works for you.
Oh, tech stack is a great way to say it. Yeah. So definitely automating those day-to-day is one. So what would be a second don't that I'm probably going to turn into a do? What would be another don't?
don't rely too much on your hunch. Use analytics. I mean, you know, like if you think that five times out of, you know, five previous times, a certain creative worked for you or a certain source of traffic worked for you, you know, don't just go in with blind understanding that, you know, I'm just going to pour all of, you know, everything that I have into this source. Be smart about it. You know, don't think, again, technology, we're in the 21st century, right? The technology is... I think it's 21st, right?
I'm sure somebody is going to DM me about it. Like, actually, it's the 25th. I'm kidding.
Well, maybe, but
weird programmatic guys. We're not in history. Okay.
So, and the technology, like, look at the technology development.
Yeah.
Don't do this manually. You know, your main forte as a buyer, I mean, forte as an agency is understanding, right? It's not the technology. It's like, keep the technology out of it. You are good at what you do because you see the patterns, because you understand how things work. Don't make things that you don't need to do your priority. Just scrap it out. Just, you know, get rid of as much, again, as many menial tasks as you can, and focus on what you do best. You understand data, you understand your clients, you understand where they want to run. Mm-hmm. Focus on that and find something that helps you do that. And again, you know, I'm just circling back to that because it's we're constantly seeing the ad agencies and networks that come to us, how they transform and how they lift off in a phenomenal way compared to what the, you know, where they were before. We're a very lenient, I would say, you know, your next door company, where like we're very flexible. We provide extensive trial periods that run for free. And the people that come to us, you know, they're like, we have, I don't know, like 1 million or 5 million impressions a month. You know, we're like, or, you know, we're in a startup phase. We're not going to serve everything for another like 4 months. And I'm like, okay, you know, you have your own free demo account. Just build around it. We don't charge you for that, you know, because we're willing to see those companies grow, and they do, because we give them the right tools. We teach them about these tools, and they are then able to focus on what they do best without, you know, having to think about all those 10 different accounts of, you know, something goes wrong, like the analytics over there are in this time zone. These are different time zones. And then these are PDFs. These are XLS. How do I combat? Don't do that. That's not what you're good at, right? That's not what you bring to the table. That's not your added value. Your added value is your knowledge of the market, your knowledge of how something performs. So just get rid of something that you're not good at. It's not like you're not good at, like, as a con. It's just leave out the things that could be automated.
And, you know, hearing you talk about automation and such, it's dear to my heart. But also, brings the question about generative AI. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure, of course.
What is your point of view, first of all, about this whole Gen AI? How do you define it? And then what do you think is a benefit to this whole AI thing for our industry? And maybe it goes back down to that second bullet point, right? About manually or automating things. So the first bullet
Of
point
course.
was like, you know, bringing things under one roof, but like, how do you help manually? I mean, how do you help automate that second point? So talk to us about your point of view on generative AI.
Yeah, generative AI. That's a big theme, isn't it? Right? It's literally everywhere.
Yeah, people can't shut up about it. And I'm like, where is it? Where is that?
I
want to meet Gen AI. Anyway.
It's you know, at first it seemed like it's going to be an avalanche and it's going to, you know, cover everybody. So
yeah.
Everybody's going to lose their jobs. Like everybody, literally everybody is going to, you know, just, so what do we do now if we have an overlord? But, you know, it's postponed. I'm not saying it won't happen, but it definitely won't happen today or tomorrow, right? So I see AI as a very big helper. I see it as a tool. Again, it's a tool that helps you do what you do best, right? So let me give you this example. There are, again, I'm the guy that sells platforms.
Yeah.
That's what I'm gonna circle around. So there are platforms over there that act like a black box. So let's say, you know, you upload the campaign, you upload the funds, significant funds, and then you're like, you know, optimize it for me. And then what the platform does with this black box optimization inside, powered by AI, powered by machine learning and all those cool things, what it does is it looks for patterns, right? It looks for companies, campaigns previously, that ran previously, and they've shown great results. And they do the same thing, right? Because, you know, if a campaign for an automotive company, for these geos, with these segments, with these audiences, if it worked on these sites, you know, let's run this campaign there as well. It's also automotive. It has similar setup. It has similar targeting options. So it's going to work there. But that's not always the case. And it may work to a certain extent. And the client, like, they could be happy. You know, they get some results. The results are, of course, you know, if you're looking for a similar audience, like lookalikes, then it's going to be, you know, somewhere in the ballpark. But if you have people that know their creatives, that know that this specific automotive company is good for, you know, a very niche segment, or it's like, it's very good with certain topics on certain specific, very specific traffic sources, it's going to perform significantly better. And a black box, an AI built into a black box, cannot know all those intricacies. That's where, you know, your knowledge and your experience being a media buyer, being an ad agency, and having all those years, you know, behind your back working, that's where that comes into play. So you can utilize, and you should definitely utilize AI as a helper, as something that helps you build the campaigns, helps you see the patterns where there are any, but it's up to you using your human knowledge, using your creativity, to actually act upon that. You know, AI is great for analyzing, but it won't, you know, bring to the table something that you have. Like it's as I said, generative, right? It's similar to generic. It's not generic, of course, but it's the approach that could be very similar across, you know, similar mediums, but you need something else. Like you're a human, everything's changing.
That's a good point. I was listening to some podcast the other day, and the lady was referring to generative artificial intelligence, but she said something about, instead of artificial intelligence, it should be, at this point, it's automated intelligence. And I thought I was so genius. I was like, you're darn right. Because I'd be asking ChatGPT all the time, like, can you correct and fix my grammar errors? Can you recap this article? Because I have 7 more I want to read, right?
Yeah. It's like if everybody's afraid of, you know, generative AI taking over, like, there's not a lot of things that you can do. You know, it's either going to happen or not. It's, you know, but in the meantime, since we are not at that point in time, think of the ways how you can use the AI to your advantage instead of, you know, thinking about all the problems that it may bring. I mean, we're here, we're living right now, right? It's all what we do.
Wow, that's interesting. Okay, so give us a third point. So we talked a couple points already, and I know we've been focusing on don'ts, but feel free if you want to do. So we talked about automated the manual tasks. We talked about bringing everything under one roof. That's how I'm going to recap it. So give us something, a third one. What should the third one is consider?
Diversify.
Diversify
diversify. Well, start from ad formats. Diversification. Mm-hmm. You know, you're like, everybody knows that, you know, banners are there. Like, banners are awesome, but not awesome at the same time, because, you know, you have this like banner blindness where you don't even see that the ad is there because you're so used to them. People are running ad block constantly because everybody's tired of, you know, seeing ads. And that's understandable because the publishers always want to push as many ads as possible to battle that banner blindness. Yeah, and since everybody's, you know, doesn't really pay attention to all those banners, they, you know, try to come up with ingenious ways to increase the interaction between the ads. So diversify, right? There are ways how you can enrich your reach, if you will, by using a variety of different ad channels. Don't neglect native, don't neglect CTV, video. And again, given the rise of AI, given the rise of technology platforms, it's much easier to do right now compared to where it was previously. Okay. So if you have a banner, you know, transform it into a video, like a short snippet, like if you have or if you have a video, you know, transform it into a GIF. Think about the ways how you can build your message in a native format, right? Because native works significantly better because the user does not recognize it as a banner and the user pay more attention to an ad that's displayed like it's a native. Of course, it has to be like
diversifying ad format, not forgetting about native. I would say not forgetting about audio too.
Of course, audio.
I don't know why, like, audio has not picked up its own little thing, right? Like, it's all been about CTV, but people are on their phone a lot. How can they not, you know, listening to podcasts? And anyway, that's just my rant for the day. But diversification, ad formatting, so messaging, I'm going to call it. Yeah. What else should they pay attention to?
Like, overall or in the specific?
In this specific area, I guess, yeah.
In this specific area, again, test out those things. Mm-hmm. Don't, you know, like if something comes up tomorrow, like, you know, this Apple Vision Pro that came out, you know, and everybody's like, we're doing VR. So don't just rush blindly into that and spend all your money on an ad that will be seen by not that many people, because not a lot of people actually have the technology yet. But keep it in mind, right? Keep analyzing. Maybe just, you know, if something new comes up, spend a little money on that. See how that works for you. But don't ignore it. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, don't rush blindly, like full hands on into a new technology. Mm-hmm. So this essentially brings me into my next point. Just, you know, stay informed about what's going on, right? Just read a lot, listen a lot, see a lot. Just educate yourself, because that's the main forte of those ad agencies and ad networks, like the experience and knowledge that they bring to the table. And the most common barrier that the agencies report is the process of hiring and training staff. If you know, they want to do things in-house, and you probably should, because then you're going to be paying a lot less money to the intermediaries, and you have full control. So, you know, that's my another do.
I agree.
Try to bring everything in-house.
And you can hire me straight up. I'll help you come up and on board, and I can even help you staff. I'm laughing, but the reality is that in the last 2-3 years, the amount of people, great, great programmatic ninjas have here to reach out to me, it's like exponential. It's like, literally, if you reach out to me and say, I need somebody that can do this, I can probably find it for you. But ultimately, it's like, who in-house can be trained to become that person? Because the person who's already in-house has already been onboarded in some shape or form. And if they haven't, cool. Like, I can help you come up with those onboarding things, right? Especially with agency, we tend to throw a lot of hats at our people. And I don't think it's cute. I don't think it's sexy to say I'm wearing a lot of hats at my agency. No, it's not. You shouldn't be wearing more than like 2-3 hats. That's it. Outside of your main hat, at least, right? Even so, I feel like it's too much. So let's stop normalizing that, you know, at least in terms of diversification. If we want our staff to learn new things, then we have to make room for them to learn new things. We don't expect like, just this morning I was talking to somebody and they're like, I had to work off hours to troubleshoot this issue. And I was like, I don't want this to be a normal case. Once in a while, it happens. Shit's happened, guys. Shit happens.
Of course.
But like, it shouldn't be normal. It should never be expected. Okay. But it should be applauded. And so there's a big difference there. And I think as we entered, like as we roll into the closing segments, I have some, you say you run sales. So I have some salesy questions about this whole thing. It's like, because I think sales gets a bad rep straight up. And I don't think it should. Okay. I don't think it should. I've been doing a lot of sales calls, business development calls. And I have misunderstood how everyone is actually in sales. Okay. And so if you're listening, you're like, nah, man, I'm ad ops. I do this in TM 360 24/7. No, you're still in sales in some way, shape, or form. So let's kind of demystify and just like tell us straight up, like, you know, when when a salesperson reach out, let's humanize this transaction. That, because I feel like, because they are most likely very inspired and motivated by the transaction dollar, like just humanize this whole relationship building. Because I got off and I posted on my LinkedIn, and I can let you answer in a second, but it was a DSP call in the morning. And big fan of that DSP, and reach out to them once in a while, because when I consult agencies and they bring up problems that they're going through via those DSPs, because I know a lot of people are working on those DSPs, I send it back. I'm like, listen, DSP and Sir Brand, these are problems you should not, like, you should fix for all of your clients. So I won't literally tell them like, Nike told me to tell you. No, I'll be like, you know, most of the clients I consult, and I consult quite a few within the month, within the year, are going through this issue. You should be able to fix this. This is a tech issue. This is a people issue. This is a whatever issue, right? Okay. So got on a call, and two business development people, very disappointed that I was going to call. You could see it. And, you know, I told them, you know, I'm consulting, looking for a partnership. This is what, blah, blah, blah. But straight up, it was not a good call. It was not a good call. And I was very disappointed, because I was looking forward to building partnership there, as I always done with every tech that I have. I'm agnostic. The second call I received via my cell phone. So that was a Zoom call, my cell phone. It's a guy that reached out to me because I was looking for CRM. Okay. It's not even in programmatic. I was looking for CRM, and he calls me back and he said, oh yeah, we're not a good fit for you based on the screening question. I needed this. He couldn't do this. I needed this within this budget. He couldn't do this. And he's like, listen, we cannot yet, but as you grow, we would love to help you. In the meantime, here are partners you should consider. Like he came from a place of serving. You know, and I was like, I want to sign up to your platform, especially after the call I just had. And so let's humanize this whole, like, when somebody reaches out to you via LinkedIn or via anywhere to sell you something, like, can you help us demystify this thing? Like, help us humanize this whole relationship. What should they do? What should they not do?
Yeah, it's a very good question. It's why I'm reacting this way is because, you know, every once in a while we do these things where we look at our competitors, we talk to them, right? Mm-hmm. We ask them to run a demo for us to see how their sales team work, how they reach out. It's usual, you know. So it's astounding for me personally, how those technology company React. It's like they either have a tech guy that is not a salesperson, or they have a salesperson that is not a tech guy. And very seldomly they really want to help you. What they want to do is they want to sell you. But in my mind, it's rare that you can sell something to a person without helping them, without understanding what their needs are, and not being a predator, not preying on those needs, but rather actually coming from a good place in your heart and in your mind, trying to help. You know, as I mentioned before, we have tons of clients that are not paying us at all. They're just building around our platform because they need something, and it will help everyone. They have a place that helps them grow. We have a client that we're nurturing. Even if nothing comes out of it, what did I spend? Time? What I do. Like, it's my work, right? It's what I do. I'm trying to help people. And that's been our goal at EPAM. That's why I called us the next door solution, because ever since when we started, that's the very same thing that we have. We have a retention rate of over 98% for us. People stay with us, and we have clients that have been with us for over 10 years because we're not looking to, just squeeze them out of their money. We're not looking to, make them play by our rules. If they need something, as your example, they come to us constantly saying, okay, look, we need this. Our answer is, it will take this amount of time. We never say no to them. We're never like, that's a stupid idea. If they come to us with that request, it means that it hopefully hurts, not. Right?
Yeah.
It means like it's something that is, the platform being the core of their business, we need to solve those issues for them. They rely on us for the overall, the backbone structure of their business. So we cannot just think about them as just a client. And again, there are probably a lot of these, calls that, we should love our client, blah, blah, blah. But
that's what
they don't really act on it. It's,
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because everyone I talk to, and this is not new, I'm always telling them, okay, as a trader, as a buyer, you got to reach out to the other side. Okay, reach out to the other side, figure out what's going on. And you got to reach out to them because why? You want to understand what's happening. Like, you got to reach out to Sergey and talk about EPAM and be like, what's going on? What can you do? What can you not do? This is not working. This is working. But what you're doing by reaching out is two things. It's like, one, you're answering questions that should be answered by now and not just Googled. And two, you're building a partnership, a network. Okay.
Of course.
Because building that partnership is probably, sometimes it doesn't have to be fruitful right away, okay? It's not an instant gratification type of deal. It's now I know Sergey. He is head of, or whatever. He does sales for EPAM. Let's simplify things. And EPAM can simplify things for me. If I'm not ready to move right now, 6 months from now, we'll remember this conversation. But at the same time, Sergey is going to remember I know somebody that knows somebody. If we all get on calls, professional or personal, trying to serve the other first before we serve ourselves. I don't know. Damn.
Problem solved.
Yeah. Problem solved things. And I think that's why, I was just talking to somebody this morning, editor in chief for a really well-known magazine in our industry. And a lot of questions were all about, who's testing what, back to the cookie deprecation thing, and what is happening, how is the buy side doing things. And I'm like, this is important information for everyone to understand for the betterment of everybody and so that this industry can move in the right direction. And so that 2 summers from now, we're not going to have a witch hunt after something else, or maybe it won't be MFAs, it won't be something like we had last summer. There's a witch hunt for MFAs, and then we realize that slow down. Like, we don't even have a definition for this thing. So that last summer was great. It was great. But so that's the whole point of and that's why I wanted to ask these questions. So if you get the salesperson, you can tell if they're here to serve and they're not here to serve. And if they're not here to serve, you can absolutely quietly say, it's cool. We're not going to move forward. Like, don't waste nobody's time. You know, be straight up.
Yeah.
Be straight up.
Absolutely. Yeah. I value that a lot. Like, if
yeah. Tell me
you're
no,
looking
I'm
for
move
something.
On.
Yeah. And if it doesn't suit you, don't say that, you know, we're going to think about it, or, you know, I'm going to have to consult the board, or, you know, we're going to have a meeting like next month. And you're like, we don't match. That's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, don't spend everybody else's time.
Yeah.
Just be honest and be open to that. And that allows you to move forward
mm-hmm.
more in a, you know, in a much faster and in a much better way.
Yeah. It's straight up. You got to be straight up. So thank you so much for all the gems and wisdom that you dropped on this episode. This was really great. As a closing segment, I like to ask this question of all the guests, like, if there's something you wanted to your younger self or your freshman self to know that you know now, maybe you didn't know when you first started in the industry, what would that be? What would be the advice you would give, you know, Sergey a few years ago?
Oh, that's a tough question. I'm super happy where I am. I am read even more. I don't know. You know, educate yourself even more.
Okay, educate.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That.
Educate yourself like even more. Even though I'm constantly looking for new stuff to get to know. Just, you know, spend more time doing that, because that's
mm-hmm.
your, you know, that's what drives you. Whenever you get some new insight, you can apply it into different forms in your career and in your life as well. You know, so just don't stop. Don't be happy with yourself. Like, you know, keep on going.
Hitting yourself.
Keep going constantly. Because, and if you like, if at any point in time you think that you're good, just look for something else actively, for a different point of view, for a different angle in what you're currently doing, because only that will drive you forward. And if you're not driving yourself forward, then, you know, what are you doing? Because people out there are driving themselves forward. You know, you have to keep up.
If you don't grow, you don't do nothing, right? Grow or who? I think it was somebody that said adapt or die. I'm always like, adapt,
yeah.
grow or die.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta grow.
Of course.
And if you're too comfortable where you are, then you're not growing. So you have to get yourself a little bit more uncomfortable. So thank you, Sergey, for dropping by. This was so amazing. If anybody needs to reach out to you, how can they do that?
That's my email. That's s.shelkov@ipom.com. It's complex, yeah. Well, I'm from Ukraine. We have these complex last names.
You
so,
have those
yeah,
unique, beautiful names. I agree.
Thank you.
Honestly, like, so, everybody will have, just so you know, your information will be in the show notes in the podcast or on YouTube in the description of the video. And of course, we'll also add even his LinkedIn information, his email, and EPOM's information. And of course, if you ever want to reach out to the guest directly, I'm happy to make a direct intro, y'all. That's okay. But thank you so much for joining. It was super lovely.
Thank you, Ellen. It's been a pleasure.